Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. In this podcast, you're going to hear Angelique Kossler and I have a bit of a general catch-up. We know each other pretty well and we've worked together in the past. Angelique is now the founding director of Angelique OT. And the themes we talk about include the value of going slow and steady and mindfully into business rather than grabbing the client and the hustle that sometimes we tend to see. We talk about business plans and what they're like and whether you have one or not. We talk about the power of networking and being open and available to opportunities. We talk about social media, which Angelique is absolutely nailing. Really great advice coming from Angelique on Facebook and Instagram. And we also talk about the family dance of making business work, family work, and all of the things that happen in that space as well. So thank you for taking a listen. And I'm absolutely looking forward to seeing the business that Angelique continues to grow. Hello, everybody. Today on the podcast, we have Angelique Kossler, who's an occupational therapist and founder of Angelique OT. And the story we're going to be kind of wrangling into shape is a startup story. Angelique has just started private practice here in Melbourne 6 months ago, literally. And welcome to the conversation, Angelique.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. So we've known each other a few years. We worked together when I had my private practice. And in the years since then, you've hatched some babies and hatched a business and spent a lot of time commuting between Australia and Canada. So welcome back to Melbourne and private practice.
Thank you. It's always, I guess that is a definite great introduction to my life. And since I've known you, shared a lot of my milestones with you, actually.
Certainly in the last few years. While Angelique OT started officially in January, what sort of private work were you doing before then?
So before that, I finished kind of after my mat leave and I came back, it was a very kind of organic, fluid, just kind of bumping into some of my clients and just kind of saying, oh, are you working? Are you working? And I was kind of like here nor there. And I was working in community 2 days a week. So I decided to kind of just take up a few clients and not really knowing where I was going with the whole business aspect. So I kind of feel that since and then I went overseas to Canada for about a year and a half and was able to kind of work in an emerging area, fetal alcohol syndrome, which was fascinating in itself. And came back here, like you said, in January and kind of decided what's best, kind of what I'm kind of passionate about and what I want to create, decided to kind of go ahead and officially now having my startup. So I'm definitely a freshman in the startup industry.
Welcome to the crazy. What have you been doing to get started?
Great question. I'm doing a lot more learning and a lot less, I guess, impulsivity. I can be a impulsive person at times, hence the, hey, I'm living here and now I'm living in Canada. But that aside, I've still always been quite passionate about my work and being an occupational therapist. So I feel that this time, the things that I'm doing is I'm kind of creating more connections and networks and, not kind of having my blinders on and saying, I just got to do what I need to do to make it. It's more saying, hey, I want to be in this industry for the next 35, 40 years, depending on my Freedom 55 plan. So what can I kind of develop and create that will be long lasting, but also true to myself and to the community I work in, and also exciting? I think that's been my biggest chunk of the difference. I've been in OT for 8 years, and it's been almost a decade, and we're always learning, and I love my clinical work, but I'm also passionate about other areas in life and how can I bring that into it, whether it be a bit of social media or creating and networking and all of those things. So I guess I'm kind of looking at it with taking my blinders off and seeing what's around me and what's happening and how can I incorporate that so that I'm not just kind of checking in, clocking in, clocking out, seeing clients, which I do love. But right now I'm not in that area that I want to expand, and I want to kind of have my own, you know, people working for me. It's more about what can I create and build for myself right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes complete sense. I'm kind of hearing that there's not a mad dash to take over the world. It's going to be a lot more creative and thoughtful and mindful and impactful, I guess, is a word that I would think about, the little bit I know about what you're setting out to do. Let's dwell, I really want to talk about social media, but we'll save that till later. Let's dwell on the networking part. I have lots of conversations with business owners and they find that a bit icky. How have you been finding your networks?
It's a great question. I kind of feel that everyone wants to have a chat. Like I said, we're, like, you know me, I love a good chat.
Yep, we could be here all day.
It's just kind of breaking. Yes, exactly. It's about breaking down that barrier. And to be honest, it can be icky. I think kind of putting aside and, you know, the mantra of kind of just saying that there's enough clients out there for everyone. But what there isn't when you're working in this type of industry is a lot of support all the time. And so kind of breaking that down and saying, you know, if there's another OT in a school that I'm working at, instead of just saying hi and saying, you know, is there another space that you know of? It's a bit more like, oh, what's your story and how are you? And, you know, and kind of, I find even just doing that at a very convenient level in a way, right? So sometimes obviously I still have to see clients, but not feeling kind of just alone, I guess, in that world. So that's an easy way. Seeing what's around in the areas that I work in, speech clinics, and I'm at that point now where I love having a chat. Love to see your clinic, love to see what you're doing. So I find breaking down barriers that way creates network. And that social media aspect, I feel like I'm starting to talk to other OTs, whether they're in the same city, in the same state, even if they're in the same country. That's kind of created a whole new fresh network of people from that supportive side.
Yeah, we tend to forget how easy having a conversation can be. And rather than stepping into a conversation with someone who may be a competitor, to actually step in and kind of check in as well. And you never know when you're going to need to chat to another OT or allied health about someone, or refer someone, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, and I guess in schools you've got educators and principals and all sorts of people ready for a bit of a chat. It doesn't have to be a heavy-duty sales spiel, but it's a, here I am, this is what I'm up to.
Yeah, I think when you're, you know, when I was younger and starting out, and it was about just kind of going, oh, can I sign in without running into anyone on the way to the client, to the class? And now it's, you know, it's a bit more saying, I'm here and I'm here to help. And if you want me to be in that class or check in with anyone, or, you know, and just kind of standing on that 2 feet to have the conversations, because at the end of the day, I love to learn. So teachers, principals, everyone has a lot to offer. So any opportunity is a good opportunity, I feel, for that.
Yeah. So let's just roll on into the social media bit because, honestly, otherwise we're going to dance around it. Tell me about what you're doing on Instagram.
So that's, yeah, it's been fun. So I started that around February or March, and I have two kids of my own, so I think about that for some reason, 4 and 1, and you know, kind of just doing a few activities with them here and there. Obviously, the teasing of moving countries, so living at a mother-in-law's, you know, then coming back to our place with boxes everywhere and, you know, just letting them kind of run wild, which is lovely, and playing with the boxes and all of that. But just found that I had a friend that had a baby and had a toddler, and just asking me what kind of games that, you know, what would I recommend as an OT for development and all this and all that. And seeing the beautiful curated Instagram, you know, accounts that I love. Don't get me wrong, they're beautiful, with like setting up small world play and a bunch of beautiful things for children. And I love that. But sometimes it's just catching the moment. You might not have a lot in moments in your life, but if they're meaningful and engaging, I just find that I was kind of starting to do that because life's getting busy with two and all that. But I found that even if I was able to do a quick activity together, it felt really nice from both sides, and it would often expand into something that I might be there for the whole activity, or I might be able to be there for a half an activity with my 4-year-old, let's say. And then he would continue with it independently and would learn from it and talk about it. So I just started to take a picture of it, and I was just getting good feedback. And so I've kind of continued that way. And it's actually a really great way to kind of forward it. And I encourage my clients to follow along. We often, as OT, are giving tips, and they're written tips on, you know, whether it's your notes that you email out to your clients, or if you're doing handwritten notes to say, you know, we recommend you work on blank, blank, blank. I kind of now feel that, in a way, I just say, have a look at my Facebook or Instagram page. I have ideas for kids, and, you know, they're nice little tiles that you can click on, and they'll tell you what I'm doing. And usually I try to use things that are around the house and very easily accessible. And then I break down sort of what's happening, like unpacking that that activity and the sort of benefits and the developmental benefits that kind of happen from it. So I've been getting great feedback, and it's so much fun because photography is a passion of mine. So I kind of have started to combine my loves and my passions, which is just always a win.
Oh, the pictures are just great. I'm listening to everything you say, but I'm actually looking at the pictures now as I'm listening. So on Instagram, it's Anjelee_OT, ANJELEE_OT. So if you're listening to this, you can find it while you're listening. And what I love is seeing the little chubby hands, and I know those chubby hands that appear, but there's tongs and bowls and colanders and bits of food appropriately, and it's also achievable. I think one of my favorite ones is when you've taped cardboard rolls onto the wall, and your littlest baby's posting pom-poms through it and things like that. It's just a grab-and-go moment, and I really salute you for that. I get a lot out of looking at them, so I could imagine that your following will just continue to grow and grow and grow. So I love the deceptive simplicity of them. Yeah, well done.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been great to do it, and like I said, I try to just use what you have. If you have like a little box, almost like that's what I have, is just kind of in the kitchen, and like we'll just grab moments, and I'll be like, that was great, and then we continue to do it, you know, sort of behind the scenes and when I'm not taking pictures. And yeah, it's great, and it's great catalog for me as well to refer back to with the kids we work with. So it's great to have followers. The one thing that's come out of it that's been really interesting is supporting OTs in in countries that don't often have, I think, access to a lot of resources. So I've had from the Philippines, from Indonesia, from India, sort of just countries and people in those countries asking me about supporting and mentoring a little bit. So there's just been, you know, that's probably the most deceiving point, where it looks like it's just for kind of families and the parents and all of that. But the layers to it is that have kind of come out from it has been just wonderful.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. The last time we caught up, we chatted a little bit about your website and that online real estate. Now, from memory, you pretty much built it yourself. What did you learn in that process?
Oh, my gosh. To not build it yourself? Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, you can say whatever you like.
Or am I supposed to be happy? Okay. No, I mean, I have a very, I would love to say that I personally built it myself. I have a very lovely partner that loves a good challenge, and he helped me with that. But it's definitely still a work in process, in progress. I guess I feel a bit more new age, where I'm like, Instagram, yes. Facebook, yes. I can build all of that. I can write what I need to and use those hashtags and all of that. But the website is just, I don't know why. I don't know why I find it grueling. But nonetheless, you yourself have given me some wonderful tips. I think the one thing I loved what you told me was that it can change every week. And, you know, it's sort of like decorating, you know, you switch one little, you put a new fresh flowers in a vase 1 week. Does it mean that that's done for the rest of the year or your rest of your life? You change it up. So I've definitely taken that in board, and I'm checking in with that website, because I know even in January when I made it, I kind of went tick done. But my Instagram changes, my Facebook changes. Why wouldn't my website change? So thank you for that light bulb. That's probably been the best aha moment in terms of my website, and saying I need to check in. And just because, you know, that's my motto on the top of my website page, or my my motivational, my mission statement, doesn't mean that it needs to stay that way forever. It can change. It can change with the season. It can change from the year. It can change from the week. So it's been fun to kind of figure out what I'm doing. And I think it kind of goes back to what we were chatting about, what I've learned the most of taking things slowly this time, where I want to be true to those things. Nothing's just a checklist. I think when you have a business, it's all sort of ongoing and organic. I'm a Virgo, so I know this isn't a horoscope podcast, but I'm bringing that up because I can be quite anal retentive in my work and like balance at the same time. And if I feel like off center, I don't feel right. But owning a business is never really centered. It always feels a bit of left of center, I guess. And just kind of feeling like everything is ongoing, everything's a process, but you know, you don't check things off and move on. You kind of check in. You check out, but you check back in. So I feel that way about my website.
Yeah, yeah. I've forgotten that you were a Virgo.
Really?
Yeah, I've forgotten. I have to check my calendar. So the website, yeah, work in progress. And, you can change it any day of the week. And, you know, given that it's early days, you know, that mission statement that you've got at the top will refine itself as well. And it will be less words, and it will be different words, and then it will kind of be more words at some point. And I reckon that's a sign of a really positively evolving business, that you're kind of challenging and, spending time in that critical thinking space about what you're doing, why you're doing it, and the sort of business that you want to be. So keep that business development time in your diary.
Yes. I love that tip, by the way, from you, was, you know, that taking that that time every week to kind of have that business admin. I think, again, just being on the go and doing all of that sort of startup things, that you're very client focused, but admin is just as important.
Yeah. So Instagram is serving you, Facebook is serving you, the website is the beast that you have to fall back in love with by the sounds of it. What else are you doing to kind of get some clients and some introductions and opportunities?
Well, recently I presented, or I've been doing a bit of kind of in-house workshops with a maternal child health nurse community. I've been kind of doing a bit of workshops with them, which was really great. Just kind of supporting OT and what we do. And I thought I was going to be a bit redundant, but, you know, they loved it. And learning about what we're doing and who we are, that we're much more than fine motor, gross motor, sensory, that, you know, what else we can support with the motor planning and emotional regulation and social thinking and all of those type of areas that isn't always on the top of other allied health lists to refer to us for. Mm. So that's been great. Been doing a bit in schools as well, some workshops. So that's something that I'm also kind of now nurturing a little bit more, that side of things, and doing a bit of my therapeutic yoga as well, offering that, especially in these winter months, some mindful and therapeutic yoga support for anxiety in some of the local schools as well. So those are the areas that I'm sort of supporting. I feel like you said, I'm quite freshy in this industry and things will be ever changing. But those are the areas that I think I wouldn't have spent much time with before kind of deciding that I'm going into this realm of private practice. And that's something that I'm nurturing, kind of, again, taking a step back from just saying client day to day and just saying, looking at it as a bigger picture. And those have been really great for referral connections, and again, connections to the community and the network.
Yeah, nice. Nice, nice. And it's such a reminder about the holistic 360-degree approach, and that we just don't go in and do hyper-focused work. It's actually really interesting to step back and look at what are the skills that we have that can support, in this case, children and families to live their big lives.
Yeah, I think you would know better before I make this bold statement of mine, but I feel with knowledge translation is a really important part. I feel like I would love to change our, you know, the term occupational therapist in a school. I don't know what we could be called, learning, I don't know, gurus. I don't know what it is, but I feel like there's a stigma around just saying an occupational therapist in the school, and it limits us in a way with, I think, the support and capacity. And I'm a true believer that, you know, all children could benefit from occupational therapy. It's kind of like, it could be like the witch doctors in a way. Maybe this is a new business model where, you know, you only, the witch doctor would go to every door and everyone would benefit from it. And you'd only pay, what was it that they don't get paid if they're, if someone's sick, you know? So the whole thing is to keep everyone quite healthy. So it's like kind of looking at it from the other point of view. I think if we keep everyone having OT all the time, and if we don't get paid if someone needs OT, I know I'm making this very complicated, but the point of what I'm trying to say is that I believe that all kids could benefit from our services. And then obviously there'll be kids that need specialized services, you know, and that could be one-on-one, but in a group dynamic, I mean, I think that we have a lot to offer, and I hope to kind of change that view one school workshop at a time, who could say.
Wow, that is such interesting thinking. I'm totally with you on the preventative maintenance wellness model. I can't help but smile at the thought of Medicare or maybe NDIS billing out for witchcraft or shamanic practices. But maybe I'm just, my blinkers are on as well, and they need to kind of be flipped off.
Well, I think now that you also mentioned billing with NDIS, there's going to be people tuning out being like, no more billing. I don't want any more billing. So yeah, maybe I need to rethink that one. Yeah.
Keep working on it. Keep working on it. And
I will. I will.
You can come back and tell us next year. The notion of occupational therapy, I think with all the work that OTs have done in schools, they've kind of narrowed the brand a bit, and that we are known as fine motor and sensory. And even the whole idea of sensory strategies and things like that, that doesn't particularly rest with me comfortably. So I'm getting the sense that OTs are wanting to kind of broaden the brand and broaden the scope, but there's going to be just as much time and energy, mainly time. It's going to take years to actually broaden that lens back out to what the market understands occupational therapists to be change agents for. So yeah, you're right. One workshop, one school, one classroom at a time. So let's jump back into the business kind of thinking here. What have you got hustled up by way of a business plan for the next 1 or 2 years?
How did I know you were going to ask that question? I had been listening to your podcast, so I know the importance of a business plan. I do. Look, I do feel like I'm in the freshie stage. So things like, I know in this next 6 months of the year is getting a sort of clinical, whether it be that program and kind of focusing in on my admin aspect of it so that I can run smoothly at a higher, you know, at a higher level. I think I'm just saying business words that I know to tell you that I'm still in the very fresh stages of it. No, it doesn't. I can't. I do. I know that, like I said, I'm doing things differently. So what does that first or second year look like? I mean, to be honest, at the moment, a lot of that is looking like I know I'm fresh. I'm creating these networks. So a lot of it is a bit of saying yes and creating these networks and taking referrals, even if they're just not a little bit, even if they're not the most convenient, it's about, you know, the bare minimum of getting yourself back out there, getting your name back out there. And then I know that the second half of this year is kind of business plan time to start that up. So I feel like I'm just kind of going around in circles in this question because I'm at the bare bones of that business plan, but I know I need to do one. So that's the difference between me and 2 years ago.
So. Oh, I love your honesty. The reality, I just love it. The reality of a quickly changing startup is that a business plan may be a term or 3 months. It might be 6 months. I can think of business owners that I've worked with that have had a business plan started and they've actually achieved everything within 6 months. And it's such a reminder that we think a little small sometimes around this. We're sort of fearful of not achieving everything, so we lower the bar. But until you're a few months in and you've got a bit of an idea what is and isn't happening, what is and isn't possible, it could almost be, you know, a little bit of a waste of a piece of paper. But, you know, I don't know, 6 months in, you've already got things planned. You've got networking up there. You've got building systems and software up there. You've got a client plan for who you're going to work with and the scope around that. So I reckon there's a lot more planning in your mind that perhaps just hasn't hit the air yet.
That's completely who I am. Like, I have a skeleton and I think it is a bit of that. Once it hits the paper, I feel a lot more accountable. And it's great. And I think I just need to kind of carve that out because I do. I have almost a 5 year plan in some ways or a 2 year plan. And often those are the more dreamier things, that I love to think about. And whether it's, you know, maybe creating a resource from my social media and all of that for in the future, for allied health or educators or parents, you know, those sort of things. I have those. Are those considered business plans or dreams? I don't know. I think they can be both, but nonetheless, I do have some kind of wheels turning in my head what the next 6 months I want to achieve. So I do just have to hit the paper and be accountable for it, I think. Again, yeah. Virgo stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We can sit and wait to get it perfect together next time we meet. So
Correct.
It's interesting when it does have a life of its own and when it is sitting on your wall and you can see it. I think I've said this on the podcast before, the likelihood of it getting done and being achieved is wildly, dramatically increased when it is out of your head. So it doesn't have to be 30 pages. I'm a big fan of the one-page business plan, and it can be quite energizing to actually tick things off sooner rather than later and have to replan the next quarter. So I'll leave that gentle challenge with you.
That little nugget.
Yeah. Where are you picking up your business skills from?
Well, obviously from yours truly, from you. It was great to kind of work under your wing and have that support. Has been just a great role model in itself. So thanks for that. My partner is really business savvy. So I have a network, I guess, of really quite, I'm very lucky to have three sisters that have, businesses and work in businesses, at higher levels. So I definitely feel that and one of them's an OT as well, who's now a manager. And so it is great to have a network that's quite, close by, but it also is sometimes you feel a bit more accountable, that perfectionist thing, that stuff comes out. So I've been kind of meeting with a few of the community networks that I've been, that I've created, and speech pathologists and, sort of people working within NDIS, and just kind of having, conversations, about, business, I guess, and what that looks like and balance between families and, you know, within my own family and my work and, checking in and checking out. So I feel like I love to learn. I pick up where I can, and it doesn't have to be in the exact same model as mine, as in OT. I feel like, you know, we're all kind of going for the same, we're all trying to do the same thing at the end of the day, and that just try to find that balance and work well and that life balance. So I've been listening to a few podcasts as well, yours as well, and a few other ones of, sort of working families and even just ones on talking about how to set realistic and attainable goals, which is probably all part of the business plan and all that sort of thing. So there's just so much information now out there, and I'm trying to actually be an active listener in it, because I feel like I haven't in the past, but there is just so much to learn, and just trying to kind of, you know, even in the podcast, I try to throw one on when I'm in the shower, and, you know, just finding space, or in the car while I'm driving to my clients, and just trying to maximize the time to learn through people within my networks and my personal networks and my work networks, asking, sometimes just going out there on a limb, going, you know, like, do you want to go out for a coffee? Just someone that I've been emailing back and forth, a speechy that we both have the same client, but we don't really know each other well. Would you love to catch up? So, you know, I feel like just kind of creating the network just organically is a lot more true to who I am. I'm, as you can tell, I'm quite informal and casual. And the moment I feel like I'm sort of formally trying to create a network, it sort of gets a bit sticky and icky for me, I guess.
Yeah. You mentioned, Anjali, about having two little beautifuls and, kind of getting back into work part-time and networking and bringing clients in. And you mentioned that all the information available on podcasts about work and life and family. How are you dancing through that in launching this new business?
I love the term dancing. I don't know if I'm dancing or zombie walking. No. I'm just salsaing my way through life. It's always a work in progress. Like I said, I think the Instagram stuff I started because it's a passion, but I also felt like I wanted to engage my kids, practice what I preach as well. So it's just about being flexible, I think, all the time in every area, which is really not, it is me to an extent, but I think that's probably been the biggest change is especially having two versus one child, because now it's just like double the opportunity of people getting sick, you know, and having to run to daycare and double the runs to the hospital. I mean, it was right before the end of term two where I was going back to Canada for a week and a half. I had three handwriting assessments to write and report and write and finish for VCE clients. And then my son got a call from daycare saying, you need to come, you need stitches. So life just throws things at you. And I do think it just takes a village. I mean, I have my husband's family here. I don't have a lot of mine, but I have a lot of friends. And I think you network. I really think networking is the best tool in your personal life, in my personal life, and in my work life. I think, you know, it's about saying, hey, can you come over and I'll have dinner for you if you just play with my kids for an hour and I'll Zoom back. And so it's teething. I'm working it out. My husband as well is in the healthcare industry, so his hours are flexible as well. It's kind of a dream. We that's kind of our business plan and our outlook of kind of for us it worked as well, not having the clock in, clock out stuff, just kind of raising our family and wanting to be there. And you know, we don't have Saturday mornings together, but we have Wednesday mornings together, for instance. So just changing and shifting our expectations and what that kind of typical I guess that typical life is, because we're not that typical life. We live here. We, you know, we still go back to Canada quite a bit. We're citizens of the world, we feel, and loved working in OT in Canada as well, and hope to do things back there. I was talking to people this time about maybe kind of doing a workshop there when I'm in town next. So yeah, the networking doesn't just stop here. It's just, trying to balance it all and just find those moments, I guess, and be flexible. So that's how we're dancing through life.
Yeah, I guess the days of 9-to-5 work are, well, increasingly behind us. And to an extent, technology lets us kind of move our time around a bit differently. But yeah, as a family, we had some different rules and routines to other families, and we released some of the typical social expectations, and it really, really worked for us. And it really lifted the pressure, and it really kind of meant that we could do our family stuff at different times and in different ways, and it worked. But yeah, I think as two creative, self-employed, allied health professionals, you guys are going to have to kind of pull the time your way, rather than kind of do the 9-to-5. I can't see that working for many business owners going forward.
Yeah, and I think that actually takes a lot of stress off of me. I mean, I think it was a really you know, it was a decision this time to step back into private practice. I've worked in community, which I still love, but the 9-to-5 just wasn't suited for our lives and I guess what we want to create. Like you said, at the moment, I feel like my kids' daycare, their hours are the only kind of structured and routine hours in our lives. Everything else is kind of flexible around that, which is great. We enjoy it. We enjoy kind of having, like I said, that weekday, rather than always it being a Saturday or Sunday, that family days, that sort of thing just doesn't happen in our household, which again, it's exciting. I like it. I like kind of keeping it different, yeah. I guess.
Nothing beats that 6 o'clock closure of the childcare center to actually get a huge amount done between 4 and 6. So,
the number of times. Do you remember those days well?
Oh, the number of times I don't know how I didn't get speeding fine more than I did to get there and slide a foot in the door at 5:58 and the role switching in that commute as well was very still memorable. I'm still recovering.
Well, sometimes I say, you know, you might be the last one to leave, but sometimes you're the last one to get in. You might go to daycare later. Isn't that okay, I guess? I don't know.
No rules. Make the rules work for you, yeah. I say.
Yeah.
Exciting times. What is Anjali OT going to look like at the end of this year, the end of 2018, in 6 months' time?
I think it's going to have some software. So that's important because I do find that that's probably the most time consuming is just sort of that admin sort of aspect of just trying to stay organized and on top of that. And so I think there's going to be a bit more of those procedures in place, even though kind of procedures and policies, but even if it's just for me, I think that's kind of going to be the change, which isn't very exciting and fresh. I could probably add one in there just to make it more exciting and fresh, but from at least the foundational of kind of being this only 6 months into this business is definitely kind of creating those procedures and policies that I can follow, but maybe that anyone else can follow. And that might be just kind of planting a seed for the future. Not sure where that will lead, but maybe just having a bare minimum of that done. That's what I want for that. And then I think there's going to be some exciting changes as well that I want to start doing next year that's going to take a sort of a more of a, I guess, product looking. Not branded Anjali OT and not an online store, say, but yeah, I guess watch this space. I have some sort of ideas of sort of kind of following along with that simplistic, the simplistic tiles of my Instagram and maybe supporting some products in that way. So we'll see. We'll see.
You have so got a business plan.
I don't. It's in the head. I might write it down on like a, on like my son's like Paw Patrol coloring notebook or something just to make it feel like it's a business plan, but a casual one.
Yeah. Back of an envelope, anything.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing the adventure so far. You've listened to a couple of these podcasts and most of the time I remember to offer guests the chance to ask me a question. Do you have a question in mind? Is there anything you want to ask me?
Oh man, do you have another 20 minutes? No, I'll ask you a simple one. Do you think you'll ever pick up clients again?
Ooh, that came up on the weekend. And it's come up a few times, more times this year now that I've stopped working clinically. Oh, look, I'm never going to say never. I just can't. You've actually made me stand up at my desk and cross my arms with concentration. I'm still registered.
Like old times.
Like old times. Did I used to stand up and cross my arms a lot? I guess I probably.
Yes, I can visualize that right now. Right?
Spare. So I'm still registered and I probably need to be doing some clinical hours. I've only, I get requests every week and I refer work on to all the OTs that I love and adore around the country. Because I'm loving the business coaching. I'm loving the flavor of conversations I have with business owners. And in terms of serving that purpose of human rights and people having their biggest lives, I love the impact that I can have in mindset and business ownership and client outcomes. So I'm really just in a place of such delight and flow with that at the moment. But I tell you what, there's nothing that is more magical than being on the floor, 4-year-old, mum and dad on the couch, another sibling wandering around, and you're problem solving and you're creating a big life on a little scale as well. So never say never, but yeah, that's all I got for you.
Okay, I'll take that as a maybe. I mean, that being said, you help business owners function on a day-to-day basis. Mm. So I wouldn't say you're not doing clinical work in some way, an impactful way. I have one more question. I told you okay. I could ask about, you know,
go for it.
Will you do an NDIS workshop for I'm sure there's going to be people, their ears are perking up, other OTs such as myself, which just want like a virtual hug, you know, is that ever on the cards of supporting?
Yeah, look, I have so many cards. You should see my cards. I'm looking at my cards. There's about 30 cards on my wall at the moment of things I could be thinking about and doing. We did the business systems boot camp in June and with Chantelle Robards, and that has all been recorded and is going to be commercially available hopefully even next week, so mid-July. And that took a focus of the policies, procedures, and the documentation you need for the audit process. And I do have this thought of running a virtual hug for those engaged with the NDIS. And I may still do it. I'm really curious, like everybody else, to see what happens later September, October with the final outcomes of the independent pricing review. It's a little bit about timing. So thank you for the reminder. I'm still standing up with my arms crossed, I might add. It's about the timing. It's about the timing and the currency of content and challenge, but also the availability for business owners as well. So, call me on that. Okay. Remind me in a couple of months' time.
You know I will.
Good-o. Now, I know you're off to be awesome with some clinical work now. Thank you so much for sharing up the adventure so far. And, we'll have
Thank
to get you back next year and see where it's up to.
I'd love that. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it, nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.